How many times have you heard someone say, it's not what's on the outside that counts, it's what's on the inside that matters? There is an element of truth to that statement. What's on the outside can be deceiving. For example, Jesus spoke of the Pharisees who honors him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. An outward manifestation of being righteous and good and loving and kind and respectful to the Son of God and so forth, but inwardly they hated him. So that the outside wasn't indicative of the inside. But also, oftentimes the outside is just a manifestation of what really is on the inside. For example, in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, and over the same verse in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said this, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What comes out is only an indication of what's inside. So, what's on the outside, in many cases, really does matter. Particularly in the way we speak or the way we communicate one with another. And that's the subject of our study here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 tonight. The text just says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Tonight I want us to consider four questions. Actually, it's three questions. The third question has two parts to it. Question number one, what is this corrupt communication? What is it that shouldn't be indicative of our hearts? Question number two, what is the good thing that we should be speaking? And then number three, how do we stop the bad from exiting? And how do we allow the good to be heard? So to that end, we will set our task of interpreting verse 29 tonight. Question number one, what is this corrupt communication? I want to give you three avenues of understanding what this word or this idea of corrupt communication is. The first is a grammatical thing. The Greek text uses a prohibitive imperative in the present tense. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? Which literally means stop allowing corrupt communication to come out of your mouth. As we have put this in context of all these different commands that are here, it's the things that Paul is commanding are things that are supposed to transpire when a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. From a grammatical standpoint, then, corrupt communication is communication that is indicative of an unsaved lifestyle. It is a communication that is without the grace of God permeating one's life. Second avenue is the linguistic or the vocabulary avenue. The word that's translated corrupt is a word that has a number of different synonyms associated with it. Some of them are rank, foul, putrid, rotten, worthless, or disgusting. All of those words have the idea of something that is decaying or will cause other things to break down or become rotten. It is set in contrast to that which provides edification. The word edification is a Greek word which literally means to make a house or the idea is building something up. This is something that breaks, corrupt communication breaks down. It's the opposite of that. And then the third one is the syntactical thing here, of being in opposition to that. And it should be that which is a lifestyle of something that exalts God. If corrupt communication is communication that is tearing down or communication of lifestyle that's apart from God. When a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his communication should be 100% different. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. And as I said in Sunday school this morning, that word new means new in quality, not just new in time. A completely different person. Old things pass away. There are some things that when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, some people will recognize immediately, you know, I shouldn't say those things anymore. And then they drop off very easily. There are some other things that, over a course of time, as we learn, we've recognized that, I can speak better than that. And these are those types of things. I've broken down corrupt communication into four different types. And these are my own designations. I don't know if you go to Webster's, if Webster will agree with me. But the type of corrupt communication that should not proceed out of the mouth of a saved person is, number one, profanities. By profanities, I mean things that decay, cause to rot, lessen in value, break down the person of God. Oftentimes, I will hear people take the name Jesus Christ, and they're not preaching. That's a profanity. People will talk about something that is given over to damnation. That's a profanity. There was a person on my... And notice I used the past tense verb there. Was on my Facebook friends list that got removed either this morning or yesterday. I forget which day it was. But they responded to the Jerry Sandusky trials. And they put on there, I hope that person rots in hell. And let me say, it's 99.9% probable in my mind that that's where he's headed. Any Christian should never want somebody to rot in hell. And no Christian should ever be encouraging others to go there. If that type of language proceeds out of your mouth, you are exhibiting the language of an unsaved person. The language of a saved person is, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel so people can be headed towards heaven. Not the opposite direction. Those are profanities. Oh, and then there's this one. Oh, God. Now, you know what? The words, oh, God, are biblical words. I looked in my concordance, my Bible program on my computer, and there are 104 verses of Scripture that use the phrase, oh, God. The words in and of themselves are not biblically incorrect. There are 21 verses of Scripture that use the phrase, oh, my God. So the words in and of themselves are not profane. It's the way we use them. When I hear people saying, oh my God, if I have the opportunity, I like to ask them, well, who is that? Doesn't usually work too well, but it gets them to think. So there's profanities. Profanities are communications that lessen the person of God. Then there's vulgarities. Vulgarities are words that lessen the things of God. Oftentimes they are references to body parts or human functions. And I'll just leave it at that. The things that God has created, that He pronounced good in the very beginning of creation, man looks at and says, these things in ways that are coarse, they are rude, they are disgusting, they are just critical of the beauty that God has given to them in the right or proper context, and they are things that simply should not come out of the mouth of saved people. Third thing, insults. Communications that lessen the people of God. A reference to people, comparing them to the animal creation. Words along those lines, and it may not necessarily be derogatory in that it's crass or crude or anything along those lines. It may be just an insult out and out that isn't true. I heard a story, I believe it to be true, although I am not absolutely certain, that back in the days of World War II, Sir Winston Churchill and Lady Astor were at a party together, and Winston Churchill was known for, he was a drunk. That's all there is to it. And they didn't like each other. And one night she said to him, "Sir Winston, you're drunk." And he just turned to her and said, "Lady Astor, you're ugly. But in the morning, I'll be sober." There are times then where we need to be critical of others and call their activities or their demeanor or whatever truthfully the way it is in order to make corrections. But just the general insults have no place. They only tear down. And then there's the last category that I'm going to call inane. Inane language is language that has no real use to it. And these are things that lessen the activity of God. One of the things that I learned over the course of time to rid out of my vocabulary is the word luck or coincidence. Oh man, I was lucky today. When something good happens, what a coincidence! No, I see that as the providence of God. I see that as the grace of God, of the goodness of God, of the sovereignty of God. But when we compare it to luck or coincidence, we take God out of the picture altogether, and that's not only false, it's just demeaning to the activity of God. And I call that inane. These are the things that only tear down, that cause to decay or to rot. And the Scripture says they are things that should not come out of the mouth of a saved person. What should come out are things that are good. Well, what's that? A couple of lines of identification are given to us here. In that it's said in opposition to that which is corrupt, and that which is corrupt is indicative of the old lifestyle. Things that are good should be things indicative of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in Him, our standing in Him, the righteousness that we possess from Him, our eternal destiny, things along those lines. It is also said here that these things are things that will minister grace unto the ones who are constantly hearing them. Grace is an attribute of God. Our speech should be filled with things that are indicative of who God is and what He's done with us. And not only that, they are things which will edify. And again, that word means to build up. There has to be some positive quality to the one who is hearing it that's going to make a difference in their life. And I have categorized things that are good into four different categories. Things that instruct, words of appreciation, words of encouragement, and things that exhort. And having said that there are inane things, let me illustrate these four by an inane example. The example in and of itself is stupid. But you'll understand how I differentiate these things because it makes sense to us. We are all on a baseball team. We are going into the ninth inning and the game is tied. The bases are loaded. There are two outs. And Glenn Stauffer is at bat. Oh, you haven't heard the worst of it yet. Glenn is the best defensive player on the team. He is faster than anybody. He is more agile than anybody. He has a stronger arm than anybody. He can make plays in the field that nobody else can. In fact, in every game that we've played so far in this baseball season, Glenn has never made an error. There's one problem, though. Glenn has never gotten a hit. He has struck out every single time he has come to bat. And it's the ninth inning. The bases are loaded. There are two outs. We need a hit to win the game. Do you know why Glenn has struck out every time that he has come to bat the whole season long? Now, there's no one on the bench. We're stuck with Glenn. Because he closes his eyes when the pitcher pitches. Every time he goes up there, it's... What are we going to do to build Glenn up? Okay. Number one. Words of appreciation. Glenn, you are the best fielder that we have. We have seen you give your everything when you play this game. Our team would never be in the position that it's in today if it wasn't for you. Words of appreciation. Do you think that's going to build Glenn up? Certainly it is. People need to know we appreciate them. Especially when we have critical words to say. But Glenn, as great as you are, you're terrible at the plate. And I understand why. I realize when you get up there that you really want to do as well at the plate as you do on the field. But here's a significant flaw in what you're doing. You close your eyes. Glenn, if you would just keep your eyes open. I know, Glenn, you believe that if you close your eyes, you're concentrating so that you can put all your power into the swinging of the bat, that when you hit the ball, it'll go a mile. But Glenn, if you can't see the ball, you'll never hit it. Glenn, keep your eyes open. Words of instruction. That will work. Words of encouragement. Glenn, I know you can do this. Maybe you fear the ball coming at you, but that pitcher out there never has hit a batter before. You know, in the course of a game, very rarely does a batter get hit. The ball was generally over the plate. You can do this. Words of encouragement. Words of exhortation. Now get out there and do it. And the mighty Glenn. No. I don't know if Glenn would have gotten a hit after that pep talk. But I think there's a greater possibility that he would if he didn't get words like that. And you and I are here to encourage one another along in our journey through God's will in life. And we will struggle at times. And it's helpful when someone will come along and says, I appreciate how you are living your life for the Lord. Or I can see that you're struggling and I've been down that road myself and here's what I have found that the Word of God says will help you in your struggle with these things. And God is faithful. He's done it in my life. He will accomplish this in your life. You hang in there. And that builds people up. Do not continue to allow communication that tears down, that causes rottenness, decay, to proceed from your lips, from your mouth. But on the contrary, speak that which will build people up in the grace of God and enable them to meet the need. In fact, it's interesting in the text that it says here, but that which is good to the use, the word use there is the word need or necessity. That which is edifying to whatever it is that they have a need of. How do we do that? How do we stop what's coming out of our mouths? After all, I was 26 years old when I got saved. For 25 years of my life, I had learned to speak some words that, well, they weren't too good. And there was some societal pressure around me that kind of constrained things that you didn't really hear me swearing very often at all. You didn't really usually hear me using coarse language. But as the old Three Stooges routine was, when Curly was taking the stand in a criminal case in the court, he was being sworn in and the bailiff said to him, "Do you swear?" And he interrupts and says, "No, I don't, but I know all the words." How do we stop that? Well, it's quite simple. Those words got into our heart through one portal, the ears. If we take our ears away from the things that are going to corrupt us, then they don't enter into the heart. Now, I understand that it is impossible to do that in an absolute sense. There simply is nowhere in this world that you can go that you are going to be free from vulgarities, profanities, and insults and that type of language. Carol and I in our neighborhood are thankful for Central Air. Not for the air conditioning itself, but for the fact that we can keep our windows closed in the summer because we have neighbors all around us that have the foulest of mouths. And it's sad. It is really sad. But we do our best to keep our ears. If we're out on our porch and the neighbors are going at it, we go inside because I just don't want to hear that stuff. One of my greatest fears in life, get ready, is when I become old. Go ahead. And I lose my mental capacities. Somebody just didn't pay attention to insults and anything. But some folks in their advancing years lose control of their inhibitions, their conscience and so forth, and words just float out of their mouth that under normal circumstances they wouldn't say. And one of my greatest fears is that if I should live long enough I should reach that mental capacity, I would say things that dishonor my Lord, that are not indicative of who I am. Why? Because you turn on the TV and the language is there. You open the windows and the neighbors are there. You can't get away from it altogether. But I can turn the TV off and I can close the windows. Remove yourself from the place of where you hear the corrupting language. And if it's not in a repetitive thing, sooner or later, it's going to die off. Secondly, fill yourself with the Word of God. Remove that which is corrupting, add that which is edifying. There are just things that as you keep putting the Word of God in you, that transforms your life. And eventually, as it fills your heart, it finds its way out through your lips. And you can be used of God to meet the needs of other peoples with the words that you say. Stop allowing language that tears down, causes rottenness to come from your mouth, but instead speak that which will build up, that will enable a person to meet the need that they are enduring with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is indicative of who you are in Him. Let's pray. Father, the scripture that we began with said that it is out of the abundance of our heart the mouth speaks. Lord, as your children, we should have lots to say of how great you are, how magnificent is your creation, how wonderful, amazing is your activity in this world. And yet all too often, people who claim that they are Christians manifest language that shows that they have no idea of what they're talking about. May that not be us. Lord, help us to fill our hearts with the Word of God, the good Word that causes growth, causes life, brings vitality, that meets the needs and the struggles, that encourages, that exhorts, that instructs, that enables us to be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And then may we be used of You for the purposes that You design of meeting the needs of others. And we'll be careful to praise You for all these things. For words of praise should flow naturally from our lips. We ask them all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week. Let's go eat.